Good morning. It's good to be back at LifePoint Church. I am just had a moment when I was sitting there, and I'm a fairly confident person, but just had a moment where I feel incapable to be speaking on behalf of God today. And I don't know if that's because I've been out of the game for a few months or whatever that might be, but when you go through this routine of coming to church and being a church leader, it just becomes a routine. And that's totally not how God set this thing up to be. So I ask you to pray for me right now. I'm going to pray that God can settle me and use me as he sees fit. If you will pray with me, I'd appreciate that. Lord, I pray that what is said here and done here today is of you and nothing else, nobody else, and especially not me. I'm just completely incapable of speaking on your behalf. But Lord, I pray that you will settle me. I pray that whatever message you want LifePoint Church to hear today, that will come through. What you want to be said will come through. We love you, Lord. We know that you're in this place. And I trust that you're going to speak through me today. I ask you to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Yesterday was the start of spring. We are welcoming spring, right? Yesterday was the official first day of spring, March 20th. And what spring means is nature springing back to life, coming back to life. It means longer days, shorter nights. It means more light and less darkness. Spring means going for a walk and not freezing to death. Spring means baseball. Spring means that my favorite team, the Reds, are not mathematically eliminated yet, which is awesome. Spring means, for a lot of you with your kids, Little League baseball and softball. Spring means March Madness. We've already seen a ton of good games, right? Though, no teams that we really care about around here. But it still means March Madness. Spring means rainstorms, the freshness that you can smell in a rainstorm, the freshness that you can feel in a good rainstorm. Spring means the return of wildlife. For the Henderson family, it means the return of birds in our front yard, the trees in the front yard. Spring means that things are going to get more colorful. The flowers are coming up. The grass is coming back to the green that we appreciate. Just about 3 weeks ago, 3 to 4 weeks ago, think about that. Everything was covered in snow and ice. And now we see the spring is coming back. So on so many levels, spring is the beginning of hope, renewal, and growth. And it signifies the end of dormancy, stagnancy, despair, darkness. Did you know that God wants to do the same thing with our faith? God wants to do the same thing with your faith. God wants to take our faith from dormancy and despair into hope, renewal, into growth and springtime. Our spiritual lives go in cycles. They go in seasons, whether we like that or not, whether we accept that or not. And there will be seasons of hopelessness. There will be seasons of hope and faith, rejoicing, pessimism, optimism, defeat, despair, winning, everything in between. I feel like I've lived a lot of those seasons in the last week alone. Many of you would say the same thing too. We've been kind of stressed out as a family. I get stressed when I have a lot of things on my to-do list, and I have had a ton of stuff on my to-do list, a ton of obligations, and it's just kind of bogged me down. One of those was a polity course through our denomination, our ordination process that Andy and I were both in. Pretty sure Andy got 100 on everything, blah, 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 every assignment Andy did perfect on. I was excited to get the 85s and 90s that I got, but I did finish it off. The church launch process, a lot of you have asked me, how's the church launch going? The short answer to that is my head is spinning over it. It is a lot. There's a lot on the to-do list. There's a lot of meetings we have to attend, a lot of assessments we have to do, Denise and I both, and it's kept my to-do list full. It's been stressful. Our spiritual lives go in cycles, and there are seasons in our lives, and we need to be aware of that. As a country, we're starting to come out of a really tough season. Hopefully, we're coming out of it. It feels like we're moving past COVID, past the shutdowns. Schools are starting to open it up this month and next. A lot of people, most people are back to work, or at least the new version of work, whatever that looks like for you. Churches are open up. Many events and activities that we love are coming back, even though they look a little bit different. We're getting back to whatever normal is, whatever that looks like. But what is our new normal? What are we going back to? What are we going to leave in the past? Where have our priorities shifted? How will we spring into a new renewal of faith? So unless you've lived under a rock for the last 30 plus years, you know that our society is living a post-church era. The faith we practice today that we came here to practice is not practiced by most people in this country. We who live out our faith in God and act on faith disciplines are in the minority when we do so. I'm going to hit you with some numbers. You all know that I love numbers. I love stats. So from roughly the year 2000 to the year 2010, as a church in America, we lost about one-third of our people in that decade alone. Gone. I would say vanished, but that's not true. They're not gone. They're not vanished. They're out there in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our schools. They're just not here in the church buildings and the church bodies with us. The number of people that walked away from our churches in that decade alone is greater than the number of people who live in Australia and Canada combined. About 25%, 1 in 4 Americans, are what we call churched, who regularly attend church services and practice faith disciplines. 1 in 4 people. Now that was before, that number came from before the pandemic. Imagine what those numbers will be after all of this. Also at 25% is the number of Americans who say that their faith was grown or strengthened during the pandemic. That number was reported by Christianity Today. To me, there's a direct correlation there that says people who were of faith before the pandemic now say that their faith has grown because of it. And assuming the reverse of those numbers is true, people who are unchurched or de-churched or not of faith before the pandemic have even less faith than they did before. I get this, of the 25% of our country who are still active in church, 2 in 5, 40% of the 25% are professed church hoppers. That means that they actively attend a church service, more than one church service in a month, but to more than one church, which means they have no ties, no strong ties to one individual church, very little commitment. Several years ago, the Barna Group reported that the number of unchurched people in America would make up the 8th largest country in the world. About 60% of Americans say that their primary religion is Christianity. So what that translates to is 35% of those who claim Christianity in this country have given up some of the most fundamental elements of our faith. The fundamental elements that are commanded all throughout the New Testament. Meet together regularly. Be united together. Form the body of Jesus together. And as LifePoint Church says, do life together. All these numbers and trends show and prove that the younger a person is, the less likely that person is to be involved in a church. So the two generations that are most represented at LifePoint here, baby boomers and Gen X, have largely been responsible for the mass exodus in our church. Millennials get the blame, but we started it. Gen X started it. Baby boomers started it. We allowed it. We've still done very little to make this stop. And by the way, just in case you're wondering, the problem of unchurched and de-churched is fairly unique to America. Despite how many millions of Americans have walked away from church and faith in the past 30 years, Christianity is still predicted to be the world's largest religion at the end of our lifetime. Think about that. Places like Iran, Syria, China, where ordinary people face extreme opposition, oppression, mistreatment from their governments. The church, the Christian church there, is thriving in all these places. There's so much to be said for how faith can thrive in seasons of oppression and persecution. Get this, in Africa in the year 1900, there was a reported 8 million professing Christians. 121 years later, currently, there are close to 400 million Christians on the continent of Africa. About 390 million Africans have accepted faith in the last 121 years. That is remarkable. The Christian faith is thriving. Christian faith is growing, renewing worldwide. But here in America, in the land of opportunity, wealth, and comfort, here in this culture where we've created these subcultures of conspiracy theorists, racists, supremacists, throw in every other label that you want to define and you've heard and you've read about. Our faith, the influence of our churches, is collectively evaporating. So what do we do? What now? We have our mission clearly defined, clearly set before us. What now? If these stats are true, the people of faith in this room and watching online, our faith has never been stronger. God has been faithful to us. We know that. And God has made our faith new in a very, very tough season in all of us. We continue to experience and live out our spring renewal. But the biggest way that we can grow our faith even more right now, after our faith has already been strengthened, is to bring others into their own renewal of faith. Think about this. In the context of what we've already spoken about, the renewal of nature, springing back all of our surroundings out of dormancy, springing back to life, all these natural things, plants, trees, vegetables, fruits, even humans, especially humans, we all depend on several other things around us to be renewed. Each depends on sunlight, water from rain, or from being given water. We depend on soil, warming temperatures. We depend on pollinators, fresh air, oxygen. We all depend on each other. Spring renewal is dependent upon everything else around us. The same can be true for our faith. For our faith to be renewed, we need to grow and see others around us grow. We need to help others by bringing them into faith or bringing them back to faith. We were made to help each other grow. When Jesus set up the church system, the system that he intended to be the representation of his body here on earth, he included a detail that can be confusing and can be complicated if we allow it to. It's the fact that we, as people of faith, are to be both inwardly focused and outwardly focused at the same exact time. A perfect balance of the two. How is that possible? Inwardly focused enough to be as unified as Jesus wants us to be. In John 17, Jesus told his disciples that he desires for them to have a unity so strong that the world would see it and know that God loves them as much as he loves Jesus. Think about that. The people in this room, the people in this church, the people in all the churches in America are supposed to be so unified and so loving towards each other that people who aren't in the faith can look at us and say, "There is a God who loves me," just because they look at us. That is mind-blowing. That unity can only come from being inwardly focused. Yet, we are also instructed to go, not to get stuck inward, but to go out, make other disciples, teach other people, help them grow, and help them be renewed. That takes outward focus. How can we be both? That question is what churches have been trying to correctly figure out and determine for our entire generation. One of my favorite things about the church we're going to launch, Chosen Church, later this year, is our unity. I know that sounds silly because it's not even a church yet. It sounds ridiculous. It's only us and one other couple committed so far. But our unity is growing, and it is so encouraging. A few weeks ago, Denise and I were going through a pretty discouraging time as a family, and we needed encouragement. And this couple came over on our regular meeting day, and they lifted us up with worship together. They offered to hang out with our kids, whoever needed to get away from the house, send them down. They read us a devotion, prayed through that devotion with us. It was so encouraging. We returned the favor to them with practical help. This week, our friend who's helping us launch this church, one of them was in a car wreck, a pretty bad car wreck, and we have done several practical things just to help them through that process. They encourage us. We encourage them. They love us. We love them. And we're unified. And now, the four of us are hoping to bring other people into that unity and show the world what this thing called faith is all about. I pray that we, as we launch Chosen Church, that we will be so unified and so loving towards each other that people will have to see God through that and see that God loves them and pursues them. I ask that you will pray for that church. Pray for us as we try to start that in our church. Pray that for us. One of the things our generation will have to answer for is for the lack of unity in our churches. Think about that. Think about what we've just seen in the last couple weeks. The Southern Baptist denomination is splitting even more. We've seen four churches, Southern Baptist churches in our city, walk away from the Southern Baptist denomination over arguments over LGBTQ rights and inclusions. We see Beth Moore, one of the most prominent evangelists and speakers that there is today, leaving the Southern Baptist Church. She is an excellent speaker, excellent leader, excellent teacher, leaving her denomination. This last one sounds silly, but stick with me here. Look at the British monarchy. The Queen is the figurehead of the Anglican Church. 85 million people worldwide she represents. In her family alone, we see adultery, broken marriages, allegations of racism, allegations of pedophilia, a lack of unity that is damaging to the church that she is the figurehead of. It hurts all of us when people go through these issues of lack of unity. We have to become the perfect balance of inwardly focused on unity and outwardly focused on bringing others into that unity and into their faith. It's a delicate balance, but it's so necessary because it makes us rely on the supernatural. It makes us rely on Jesus and his power in our lives to be so connected and so unified that outsiders, the unchurched, will see him in us. It makes us focus on more things that will help us grow and experience an even deeper spring renewal. I want to read 2 Corinthians 4, and I ask that you read that along with me. And read it thinking about the context of a renewal of faith. Paul wrote Corinthians to the church in Corinth to instruct them and encourage them to be renewed, to be knowledgeable of and resolved in their faith, to not let the negative voices around them influence what they know to be true. The intro to 2 Corinthians in my Bible sums it up perfectly when it says, though the believers in Corinth were being renewed by the Holy Spirit, they still struggled against the immoral influences of the culture around them. That sounds super familiar, right? All of us struggle with that, people of faith, 2,000 plus years later. Read 2 Corinthians 4 with me. We're going to read through the whole chapter, starting with verse 1. Therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth about God, and all who are honest know this. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Paul is saying that we should not hide our faith. We shouldn't hide it, and we shouldn't hide behind it. And we shouldn't keep it to ourselves. If we hide behind our faith, people are dying, hopelessly dying, and we're hiding our faith from them. Starting back with verse 4, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the faith, in the face of Jesus. Ask yourselves this question. Can we see that in ourselves? Can we say this about ourselves? That we don't preach about ourselves, but we preach about the Lord. Who can say that in our culture? Where our culture is about me and my feelings, my opinions, what I post on social media. Who can say that? Verse 7. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We see here again that our faith is what points others to God. Verse 8, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. This makes me think of the great Chumbawamba song, "I get knocked down, but I get up again." Some of y'all are thinking that again, right? Now it'll be stuck in your head all day. You're welcome for that. But seriously, a pandemic's not going to take our faith. Pandemic didn't take our faith as we're coming out of it. It made our faith stronger. Everybody in this room, our faith is stronger. We're more resolved now. We're stronger. We're leaner. We're ready to share our faith. We have to be ready to share our faith. Back to verse 9. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Our suffering helps us share in Jesus' suffering. It reminds us that he overcame suffering, that he lives, that we are his body on earth. What a privilege that is. Yes, we live under constant danger, verse 11, because we serve Jesus so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. There will come a time in our lives, maybe, where our lives will be threatened due to our faith. I don't know if that'll happen in our lifetime. Things seem to be trending like that. Who knows? It's looking like it'll definitely happen in our kids' lifetime. What are we as the church going to do about that? How will we train and equip the next generation? Verse 13. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, "I believed in God, so I spoke." We know that God who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more glory. Here we see again, as we bring others into faith, that our faith will be renewed in the process. God will be glorified. God will receive more glory and more glory and there will be great thanksgiving. That is why we never give up. Verse 16, though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being, here's our word, renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see last forever. I love that last line. The things we cannot see will last forever. We have to trust in Jesus when he says that our unity will be a reflection of him. We have to trust Jesus when he gives us the charge to be focused both inwardly and outwardly when it makes no sense to us. Our family has had to trust God when he sends us a 4-year-old who had been in 7 placements less than 2 months. We refuse to give up because God fuels that mission. Will we make a lasting difference in his life? Who knows? I don't know. Time will tell. But has our unity and love for him and for each other shown people outside the faith a picture of God, his love for us? Absolutely. We have to trust Jesus that what looks like maybe the end of some of our collective suffering going into this spring renewal with a stronger faith, that our renewal can be even richer and deeper than we ever thought possible. Our faith renewal. Maybe God allowed all of us to go through this, to make it through this, to be renewed and point others back to him. Maybe he planned it this way when he chose us, when he called us, when he predestined us to purposes greater than we will ever know, even before we were born, just like Ephesians 1 tells us. Maybe he called us for such a time as this, to bring others into a spring renewal of their faith like we and they have never experienced before. Will you pray with me? Lord, we take the charge seriously to be connected, to show love, to be inwardly focused. We support each other, we love each other, we encourage each other. And I pray that you will continue to bless this church, bless us as we do so, as we show your love to others in practical ways. Lord, we take the charge to be outwardly focused seriously. Maybe not seriously enough. I pray that you will bless our actions as we do so, as we start to take that more seriously. As we know that spring renewal in us means spring renewal in others. That you, God, and Jesus set it up that way. That our growth depends on other people's growth. And our growth depends on other things' growth. That we must be both inwardly and outwardly focused at the same time. It seems impossible, but it is possible with your help. Supernatural help that can only come from you, Lord. I pray that you will make that possible in our lives. I pray that you will make that desirable in our lives. Not only just possible, but make us desire it, Lord. Make us desire you. Make us desire to bring other people into what we know. That, yeah, we went through a tough time. We've been through tons of tough times. And we come out stronger and more faithful every single time because of you. Because of the hope you provide and the love you provide, the resolve you provide. Give us the desire to bring people back to faith in you. People who walked from you. Not only just walked on the church, but walked from you. You give us that desire collectively to bring them back, bring them in. Springtime is a perfect time for that. As everything is renewed, everything's coming back to life. We're coming back to life. We're getting back out there. We're talking to people. We can communicate. We can hang out with people. All of it's coming back. Easter's coming up, where we celebrate you, what you did for us, what Jesus did for us. Perfect timing to renew, be renewed, and to grow renewal in other people. Give us that desire, Lord. Give us the opportunities. May you continue to place others in our path that need to hear what you're all about, that need to hear what you're doing in our lives. Nobody else, what you're doing in our lives. Lord, will you take us from our narcissistic ways into preaching only about you, talking only about you, what you do in our lives. Not in weird ways, but in ways that other people can understand. Ways that you've set us up to share. Ways that you've set us up to receive. Only you, Lord. May we point in our actions only back to you. Lord, we lift you up today. We pray for the renewal that we know is going to come. Thank you for seeing us through one of the toughest times that we will collectively experience. Our faith is stronger because of it. And we love you more because of it. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We ask you to keep working, keep moving, and keep renewing. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
All right, thank you all so much for being here with us once again for LifePoint Online. If this is your first time here with us, thank you all so much for being here and hanging out with us and checking out LifePoint Church. If you'd like more information or if you have any questions, you can either drop a comment below or you can visit us on our website or any of our social media platforms. And if you have questions, just go ahead and ask and someone from our team will get back with you as soon as we possibly can. Also, if you want to continue to worship with your tithes and your offerings, or if you just simply want to give to LifePoint Church, you could head over to our website. It's lpc502.com. In the top right-hand corner is an online giving button. If you click it, it takes you to a safe and secure place where you can give. You can also begin to text to give by texting the amount that you want to give to the number 84321. But however you choose to give, we're just so thankful and humbled by the fact that you're on mission and that you're giving back just a portion of what it is that God has blessed you with. Again, thank you all so much for being here with us today. We hope that you'll join us in connecting and doing life online throughout the week. And until next Sunday, we'll see you later. Have a great one.